But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the city. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that were remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
Amen. Thank you. Before I pray, let me share this with you. As we're praising God, as we're praying, I felt that there's a sweet presence of the Lord, and especially there's Heavenly Father's love touch, that someone here is so desperate for to be loved by a father. And I believe that the Heavenly Father himself is going to touch you today. Amen? Can you agree together? Can we agree together that this will be our prayer, that the Heavenly Father himself will touch us today? We thank you, Lord, for your presence among us. Thank you for your words. Thank you for your willingness to come and bless us and touch us every time we come to you, Lord. Thank you for your living word that teach us and encourage us and challenge us and guide us, Lord. And thank you for your church, for your body, and for the love that you brought between us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that all of us will lift our eyes on you, Lord, to see the help comes from your throne to each one of us, Lord, according to our needs. We don't know the needs, Lord, but you know the hearts. So I pray, Lord, to touch us. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 From the passage that we read, or Jolie read, I really feel that God spoke to me, and I pray that God will speak to you too through this message. I'm going to cover 3 points from this passage. It's a story that we all know from when we were little kids, right? We know the story by heart. But three points I'd like to cover in this story. First one is, I'm going to call it the gift of desperation. Okay? The gift of desperation. And I know it's a little bit weird. A gift of desperation. Can you imagine someone like coming to your birthday or Christmas, bringing you a wonderful wrapped gift with wonderful, you know, colored, you know, cover, and you open and you find inside desperation? Can't be. Desperation is not a gift. Desperation is not a gift. But here, it's a gift. And we will see if it's a gift or not. And sometimes desperation in our lives is a gift. And we will see why. But before we see why, let's see what's the definition of desperation. The definition of desperation is, okay, I hope to see. I think I will see. I'll be ugly. No, but it's okay. Okay. Feeling and showing or involving a hopeless sense. Okay. It's a good news, by the way. My message today involves a good news. And I'm going to start it with this. You know, desperation is feeling and showing and involving a hopeless sense that situation is so bad as to be impossible to deal with. Okay? So it's a situation that I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm so desperate, and I've tried everything, and nothing is working. This is desperation. When you are trying to take advices how to raise your child and nothing is working, I'm so desperate. When I'm working three works at full-time works and the money is not enough, I'm so desperate. When I'm so sick and I went to all doctors, including Dr. Magdi, and it's not working, I'm so desperate. Desperation is a situation that I cannot deal with anymore. Desperation is a situation that beyond my abilities, not only me, beyond all the things that I know, desperation is, I don't know what to do. I am lost. I am weak. I don't know what to do. Desperation is having lost hope, like this desperate spirit crying for relief. Desperation is giving no ground for hope. I lost hope. I don't have hope. Desperation is moved by despair or utter loss of hope. Desperation is suffering extreme need or anxiety. As I shared, desperate for money, desperate for health, desperate for peace in my family, desperate for hopeful for the future. I am so desperate. In the Bible, so many stories about desperation, about that people are lost, people lost hope, and there is no one to help. There is a woman in Matthew 15:22-28, a Canaanite, a Gentile, a woman that not from the people of God. She was so desperate because her daughter is demon-possessed, is demonized. She cannot help her. It's dealing with demons is beyond what I can do, right? When you see your child hopeless, helpless, cannot do anything about it, it's desperation. And this woman came from a village vicinity, came to him, came to Jesus, came to him so desperate, came to him and she's losing hope for what she tried before. She lost hope with all the ways that she tried before, but she came to him. She came to him. And then cried out. She was crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Here is, when I was reading this, I was like, wow, her daughter needs the mercy. But she's saying, have mercy on me, because my daughter is part of me. When my daughter is in pain, I am in pain. When my son is in pain, I am in pain. Have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Suffering terribly. Can we say this? Suffering terribly. No, say it as I was saying, with the same accent. No, I'm just... You can't. You can't speak my English. Suffering terribly, terribly. And she cannot help her. She cannot help her. Because it's beyond what I can do to her. But she came to who? To him. She came to him with a desperation. This is why. When we are so desperate, it's a gift. It's a gift. That means that we tried everything. That we tried everything and it didn't work. And now we come to Him. And when we come to Him, everything will be different. She came to Him and she asked Him, My daughter is demon possessed. Jesus did not answer. I love this about Jesus. It's a little test. Didn't answer. Silent. Didn't say anything. When we are praying and praying and praying, we are so desperate. And we are praying and we came to Him and we hear nothing. Hallelujah. And we said, okay, you're not going to talk? Okay, bye-bye. I'm out of here. No, she didn't. She didn't. He didn't answer. He didn't say a word. So his disciples find it, oh, look at this. Jesus is not answering this Gentile woman. So this is it, our chance to kick her out. Because she's bothering us. She's giving us headache. This is our chance. And Jesus is with us. Because he didn't answer her. No. The disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. She keeps what? Crying out after us. Can you help us? We saw your teacher, your master helping other people. Can you help my daughter? And we couldn't. And she keeps asking. She keeps asking. You know, if I have a need, if I have a little need, like water, the water is there. Can you give me water? It's just like, you know, if you don't give me, I will go and get it. It's so easy. But if it's something that beyond my need, beyond what I can do, beyond other people can do, I'm so desperate. This is why I'm asking over and over and over. Don't give up. Don't give up. When you're praying for your children, don't give up. Just ask over and over and over and over. When you're praying for your marriage, pray over and over and over and over. When you're praying for your church, pray and over and over. When you're praying for your pastor to change, pray and over and over and over. Because we will see Jesus. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. I shared this story in one of the meetings. Maybe I shared it before, but I'm going to share it again. About God is hiring someone to work for him. And this man said, okay, I will work for you, God. And this guy asked, what's my job description? And God answered him, look at this. And he put a huge rock in front of his house. And he told him, your job is to push that rock. It's a huge rock. It was weird, but he accepted the job. And he started to push. Every day, honey, I'm going to work. And he starts to push that rock. And push that rock. Next day, push that rock. Next week, push that rock. Months, a year, 2 years. And started to complain. And God, this rock is not moving an inch. Well, God came to him. He said, when I hired you, you didn't pay attention. I didn't say that you need to move the rock. I asked you to push the rock. And my job, I know that the rock is not moving. My job is to move the rock. And he moved it for him. But let me see. How's your muscles? How's your back muscles from pushing? How's your hand? How's your hand? Is it still soft? Or now it's tough? How's your muscles in your arms? Are still soggy? What do you call it? Or strong? I don't know. I don't know. It has muscles. You're stronger. Pushing makes you stronger. Pushing makes you stronger. And push. Now I'm teaching you English now. Believe it or not. Push is P-U-S-H. Push. P for prayer. Pray. U until S something. H happens. Pray until something happens. Just push. Just push. Don't, you're not gonna move any mountains. You are not gonna move a little rock. A little rock. You're not. Your job is to push. This lady was pushing all the time. Come and heal my daughter. Come and heal my daughter. I'm not going to leave you until you heal my daughter. I'm not going to leave that place. I'm not going to leave that place until you heal my daughter. I am so desperate for the healing of my daughter. I'm not leaving that place until you heal my daughter. I don't know if you or your disciples, I'm not leaving here until you heal my daughter. Until you deliver her, until I see her free from that demon possession, until she's free, until every chain is broken, until every demon leave her alone. I'm not leaving. I'm gonna keep pushing, because she is so. You know why? Now you know why desperation is a gift? Because your children, your family, your health, your headache, your cancer, your whatever will not leave you alone until you're so desperate. Your sickness will not leave you alone until you are so desperate and you come to Him. Keep pushing. Hallelujah. It's a good news. It's still a good news, yeah? Amen. So this lady, she continued to talk to Jesus. He answered, well, Jesus said nothing. So his disciples said, send her away. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. That's harsh. But she answered, Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. I'm not asking for a bread. I'm not asking for a meal. Just asking for a crumb, a little bit of your presence, a little bit of your touch, a little bit of your mercy today, a little bit of your grace, a little bit of your Father's love, a little bit of your love, a little bit of your deliverance, a little bit of your freedom. I'm asking for a little, but I know this little will deliver me. I know that this crumb will heal me. I know that this crumb will comfort my heart. I know that this touch will change my life forever. And that this touch will change my daughter's life forever. I'm asking for a little, but I know that this will change my life.
Hallelujah.
I'm asking for a crown. Because she was desperate. She was so desperate. She was so desperate. Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted," and her daughter was healed at that moment. She needed a crumb of faith. She needed a crumb of deliverance. She needed a crumb, and she found it on him. Why I'm sharing this with the story of feeding the multitude? The multitude, the people were in a desperate need. They were following Jesus for 3 days. They were hungry. They were in a desert place. They were in a place, it's considered desert. And the disciples didn't have faith to feed them. And Jesus said, I'm full of compassion towards those people. I don't want them to go away hungry. Give them what you can. And they had only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. This time, I'm not going to say 2 fishes. Last time, I said 2 fishes. And my youngest brother laughed at me. But today, I'm going to say only 2 fish. Yeah. So 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. This is all what they have. But again, number 2. First, desperation is a gift. Yeah? The gift of desperation. Second, blesses and break. Blessings and breaking. Okay? And I have a gift for you. I have a gift for you. But this gift, I hope that will remind you with this revelation I got yesterday. Okay? Please, take one and pass it. Take one and pass it. Thank you. Oh, I need one. Yeah, I do. That's a good one. I need another one. Really, another one. Disaster. I know that. It's a disaster. No. Dahlia said that we will break the tradition. Okay. So Jesus took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, and he looked at heaven. Looked up at heaven. And he looked at heaven, and he blesses and breaks. Okay? He blesses the bread and he breaks the bread. So I'm going to talk about breaking first. Breaking, sometimes, it's not sometimes, all the time. Breaking, being broken, is it fun or painful? It's so painful. It's so painful to be broken. It's so painful to be not in pieces. Yeah? It is so painful. I'm going to also give you a definition of breaking. Okay? I like definitions. Interrupting. To separate something into pieces as a result of blow or shock or strain. Okay? This is the definition of breaking. When you break something, it's interrupting its unity. It's interrupting the oneness of that thing interrupting its togetherness, okay? By forcing, by blowing it, by shocking it, by straining, by power that makes it break into pieces. And normally, breaking is not fun, as I said. I want you to do this, okay? Yes, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna break this. Can you break it with me? Okay? Don't worry about it. Break. Ah, you didn't have one? Even the sound is annoying. Sound of breaking. Please give me. When something like this is broken, what do you do with it? You throw it away. The garbage, the trash. It's a trash, right? But why, what if I have a sharpener and I sharpen the broken part? It will take time, huh? It will take time. Okay? So now I ended up with one piece have two edges and one piece that has one edge. This is my daughter's makeup thing. I borrowed it. Normally, this is all of us. This is all of us. When we are broken, we think immediately we are ruined. We're not good for anything. We are ruined. No. Our place is the trash. And we trash our life. But what if God wants to give you a new beginning because of the brokenness? What if God wants to start a new thing in your life? Yes, it used to be one. Yes, to be even. It used to be long and tall. And oh, look at this. It's nicer. Now it's broken. But this brokenness, it's just a new beginning. It's a new thing that God is bringing to your life. And you know what? And now it's a little short, a little humble. I used to be tall, and now I'm short. I used to be, among others, tall like them. Now I'm short. I'm going to write this in my Bible here. I'm going to write history. Short people makes history. No, I'm not talking about short. I just made it just for fun. Humble people makes history. Humble people, sometimes they go through brokenness. That's okay. You know why? You feel like, hallelujah, I am broken. Thank you, Lord. Because the word of God, I love this. I love this. Before he broke, what did he say? He blessed. And in our lives, if there is any brokenness, I want you to recognize today that the blessing of God, سبقت يعني, goes before the brokenness. The blessings of Jesus goes before the brokenness. This is why when I'm broken, I know it's in your hand. It's in your hand. I'm not caring about this. I know that I'm broken. I know that I'm in pieces. That I know that my life is interrupted. I know that everything was fine. And now I am interrupted. My life is interrupted. My life is in pieces. But you know what? I know that you spoke blessing before the brokenness. And I will hold this blessing. I will not let go of the blessing. I will believe that you will either bring me back together, restore me together, or use the little one. The little me, you're going to use it and make history again. Jesus broke, but before he broke, he blessed. He lift up his eyes to heaven. And I, in the name of Jesus, I speak as a prophetic word to each one of us that going through brokenness, that you will experience, that you will see, that your eyes will open to see the blessing that of God in your life. I don't care what will happen, what is happening to you. I don't care. I don't care. I know that the blessing is there already. Amen? Amen? Amen. Don't run when the brokenness comes, because the blessing is there already. Instead of running because you are broken, you know what? No, just wait a minute. The blessing is there. I'm going to dwell in the blessing of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brokenness. Brokenness and blessings. The other part of the pencil, I felt like say God is saying this. This is humility, being short and a little bit ugly and useless. Like, what can you do with this? You can write history with this. Still, you can write history with this. This one is double-edged. Double-edged. This one, you're going to use it in your life, and you're going to use it in other people's life. You're going to use it. You're going to say, oh, no, don't worry. I know exactly what you're going through. I know that it's painful. I know I went through the same thing. You're going through the same thing. But you know what? We're not alone, because Jesus went through the same thing. It's double-edged. Because you are comforted, and with this comfort, you're going to what? Comfort others. It's double-edged. Everything, hallelujah, everything I go through, I will find someone. God will put someone in my life that's going through the same thing. And I can tell him, I know. I understand. Because Jesus did the same. He was مجرب في كل شيء مثلنا. He was tempted with everything like us, without sin. He knew everything. This is why he said, you feel like abandoned? I was abandoned too on the cross. You feel betrayed? I was betrayed too. You feel like your mother and your father forsake you? I was forsaken too. My friends, my best friends, left me alone. I know what you're feeling. I know what you're feeling because I went through the same thing. Amen. I know that this word, again, it's considered Sunday school for little kids, but just receive it. Amen. Blesses and breaks at the same time. Third thing I will close with for this story. God will use it God will use it. What God will use the miracle that happens now for a reminder later. Okay? The story of feeding the multitude, the 5,000. And the disciples gathered 12 baskets of leftover. Later on, what do we do, Jesus? Another situation, the same thing. What do we do? Jesus reminded them, you don't remember? You don't remember the 12 baskets of leftover? Okay, let me say again. No, not let me say again. Let me do it again. Things will happen in your life, in my life. And God will use it again and again and again to say what? I'm going to do it again in your life. I blessed you. I healed you. I provided for you. I'm going to provide again. I healed you. I'm going to heal you again. I protected you. I'm going to protect you again. I'm reminding you. If I ask us here, how many times God reminded you with things that He did in your life? How many times He provided? How many times He healed? How many times He protected? The stories will come. We cannot fit it in not today, a week or a year. Because it's so many blessings of God. And this is how Jesus is using this story. As I was preparing, I will be faithful. I was preparing and I was reminded with a story like this in my personal life. I had a meeting with someone and we were poor missionaries in Africa. I had a meeting with someone. I had to go to the meeting. I had to take transportation. I didn't have the money for transportation. So I decided I'm going to walk. So walking in Sudan is very hot. Very hot. No, it's very hot. No, little bit more. Little bit more. Yeah, a little bit more. Very hot. I left a cassette tape in the dashboard of my car. I went inside. I came back. It was melted. This is hot. This is how hot Sudan is. So, being clever, I'm going to walk. And it was like during the day, like 1 o'clock. So I took my cab and I decided I'm going to walk in the small, narrow streets because it's more shadow. It's more, you know, shady. Thank you. Shady, really. So I decided I'm going to go through the small streets, you know. And then I entered the first small street and I heard the voice. I heard the voice and saying, no, this is not the way. You have to go back to the main street. I was like, no, this is more shady. No, you have to go back. After I went maybe 20 meters and I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go back to the main street. Main street is asphalt and it's very hot and I'm going to walk in the asphalt and it's very, very hot. So I went to the main street. I was like, I'm going to find money. If he leads me to that, I'm going to find money. But I was walking and looking, nothing. Okay, where? And I was keep going. I went to the big, big main street, the main street. I found the sweepers. We don't have the machine to sweep the floor. We have people to sweep the floor. So they swept the floor. I was like, they swept it. Nothing. I'm not going to find any money. But because it's clean, you know? It's clean. But somehow, believe me, until now, I see the picture. I can see it. Because he reminds me over and over with this. Two lines of people sweeping the floors, one from this side and one from this side. And there is like an island in the middle. So I went to the island. I saw a brown paper moving like this. I was like, no way. I came closer. No way. It is. And I found £1. £1. £1 can give me 5 rides with the bus. And people are standing next to it. And they didn't pick it up. I picked it up. I took the bus with 20 piastres, let's say piastres. I'm not going to explain that. It's so complicated, the money in Sudan. So let's say 20 cents, okay? I took the 20 cents, ride the bus, went to my destination, went off the bus to a road, a dirt road. I just stepped out. I found 20 cents again in the street. So I have one pound again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I finished my meeting. I took my bus back, and we were living in a house. We didn't have money. We didn't have food except honey. And I bought bread. So bread and honey. Hallelujah. This is like living in the desert. And it was the manna, right? Manna was like bread and honey. And I ate this. And I remember, this morning, we were sitting just up. We had a mattress at the floor. We didn't have the luxury of a bed. So we had a mattress. And I remember I was sitting like this and sleeping in the mattress and putting my hand underneath the mattress like this. And I felt something. I looked. It's 5 pounds. Hallelujah. So I could buy more bread for my family and my kids. Well, we had one kid at that time. And God reminded me with this. God reminded me with a lot of stuff. God will remind you again and again and again. I can provide for you. I can provide for you. I can provide for you your physical need. I can provide for you your spiritual need. I can provide for you your emotional need. Amen? Just keep pushing, keep praying, keep coming, believing in Him. And He is wonderful, wonderful Heavenly Father. Amen? Let's pray together. I want us to believe that we are not alone. We are not alone. We are not alone. We have a mighty, big God, Father. As I was preparing, I remember this children's song. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There is nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. There's nothing impossible. If your health is interrupted, forced, brought to pieces, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty. He can restore your health. Your family is destroyed into pieces. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. He can restore. He can restore. If you have a great need, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you healed, you provided, you restored, you saved, you redeemed, you delivered, you freed. You healed the brokenhearted. Thank you, Jesus. You are yesterday and today and forever. We come to you broken pieces, Lord. And we know that with the broken pieces, you can still write history. So use us, Lord. Use us, Lord. Use this church, Lord. Use this church just to worship you, just to obey you, just to submit to your will, to do your will. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here.